I'd like to ask a question of you. How well do you think you know yourself? I think that we would probably all agree that God is a mighty God. If you believe that God did what he said he did, he created the universe, we haven't even begun to understand the workings of the universe, and still looking far as we can see, there's universe, and there's universe beyond what we can see, and there's places in the ocean that's never been explored. There's life, and the creation of God is outstanding, and God didn't exhaust himself when he got through his 6 days. If the creation is not able to understand it, then how can you understand the one that created it? I think we'd all agree that God is a mighty God. And he can do anything. There's nothing he can't do. And if there's any limitations on God, they're limitations that he put on himself. And he can change us and make us what he wants to be simply because he wants to. But he don't. The method that he seems to use is to bring us in understanding. If we want to, and we desire it, the Lord will show us ourselves. And then it's up to us to find the grace and power of the Lord to change the things that need to be changed. There's probably more about all of us that God would like to change than what we realize ourselves. One scripture kind of alludes to that. It says that he that thinketh he stands, take heed lest he fall. It's really easy to think you stand. Well, we've all probably here are thinking we stand to some degree or another. But the warning is to take heed, because we don't really understand as well as we think we do. And when you think you've won in the battle, and when you think the victory's at hand and there's nothing can touch me now, I've been through it, you better be careful. And you don't really know that you're weak or where the weakness may come. Scripture over here in Revelations, third chapter. Fourteenth verse starting. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked." To think that someone's can actually be in a situation that they're so wrong. These were Christian peoples. It was the church of Laodicea. And my understanding about it, is a very wealthy place, and the people there were wealthier, and they had, counting that, the blessings of God. God's been good to us. Look what he's done. He's given us these things, and we're very blessed by that, and it's true. It is true. Everything that we get is by the hand of God. That is very true, but it's not that was their problem. Their problem was the idea that made them. That there was a proof to that. That there was a proof in that God had been with us, and that we're rich. And we have, I can't find a need that I have. Can you believe? Is there anyone here willing to say, I don't have a need? I think to the true Christian heart, it's a perpetual need. I recognize that I need the Lord all the time. There's no time that I don't need the Lord. I need the Lord every day. I need the Lord all the time. My daily prayer for a long time has been, Lord, give me grace for the day. I don't know what I'll face today. I'll need grace today, so give me grace for the day. Now, you say that you're rich and you have need of nothing. You have all these things, but you don't know what your true condition is. To think that they were so wrong about what God was looking on and they was looking on. And they saw a picture, and it had a picture in their mind and an idea about what the situation was. And when God looked at that same picture, he didn't see what they saw. He saw people that they were poor and wretched and naked, and they did not see the condition of their souls. How well do you think you know yourself today? You know yourself well? You know, the scripture tells us that we shouldn't boast ourselves. Is that it? We shouldn't boast ourselves of ourselves? And that scripture says that we shouldn't even make a declaration that I'm going to go to the city tomorrow, but I should say, if the Lord will, I will do this or that, because I have no ability to perform those kind of things. And yet, I'll tell you a little story. I have some friends in Pakistan, and I got a message from them right before Easter, about a week before Easter. They said, brother, we got in trouble, and we wondered if you can help us. And I said, well, what's your problem? And they said, well, we made a promise to some orphan children in this village that we would feed them, that we would get them a big meal, and we would feed all of them on Easter Day. We was going to have service with them, and we was going to feed them. But it's about a week till Easter, and we don't have nothing to feed them. And we made a promise to them that we would do that. And I said, well, my answer was, I'll be praying about that. And then after a couple of days, it was like, well, brother, it's like only 4 days till Easter, and we don't have anything to feed them with, and we promised them that we would. And my response we'll be praying about that. And then it came up about Good Friday or so, and I got a message and said, brother, please, we made a promise that we were going to feed them, and it's almost Easter, and we don't have nothing to feed them with. And I said, well, can I ask you a question? Sure, anything. I said, why would you make a promise that you can't keep? And the answer was, we have faith in God. And I said, well, that's good. I mean, that's good that you have faith in God. It would be the answer. And if the Lord told you to feed them, I believe it too. Now, I have faith too. If the Lord said, I want you to do that, then the Lord's going to work it out. And I'll pray for you with that situation. But I said, if it's the Lord's will, he'll provide. If it's not, you made a promise you can't keep. You boasted yourself of something that you can't do. And I said, in 2 days, we'll know the difference. I wasn't trying to be mean or hard, but the scripture says, don't boast yourself. Don't get out in front of your skis now on this. If it's the will of God, he'll perform his will. But if it's your will, you need to understand your personality and your way. That's what I'm thinking, because I know a little bit about them, and they are very assertive about things and getting like that. And this is what I'm talking about today. This was not a condemnation about them at all. I wanted you to understand the story that it did play out by Easter. They didn't get food for the children, and they made a promise that they would. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord don't want us to use our word and be that way. I understand faith, and I'm with it too. And I think God will fulfill everything that he wants us to do in our life. When he wants us to have faith. He'll challenge our faith. But he doesn't want us to get out in front of our skis and start saying things that God isn't in. So this scripture here says of these people, no doubt that they had a very spiritual idea about themselves, but they didn't really see themselves. You know how much dysfunction that we can have in our lives because we have some problem about ourselves that we've never been able to see or recognize? You know how really, I'll be honest with you, family, husband, wife, children, all of, they, in living for the Lord, there ought to be an ability for us all to get along. Wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say that the fruit of a Christian life ought to be peace? It ought to be function. It ought to be working. It ought to be forgiveness. All of those things ought to be in our lives. And I'll say from the Christian standpoint, I don't think that you can do. I don't think that you can dictate what your neighbors do. But you can dictate what you do with your neighbors. And sometimes you can get into a position to not even understand yourself and cause dysfunction. You know, the Lord wants to set us as a witness. In the place that we're at, He wants to show what Christ would do in your home, what Christ would do in your neighborhood. He wants to show that. And a lot of times when we lose that about, and we don't see that about ourselves, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, we can cause dysfunction right around us. The neighbors, I'm not responsible for what they do, but I'm responsible for what I do back. I found this in my own life. I have been able, by the help of the Lord, and it's purely the help of the Lord, I've been, by the help of the Lord, been able to keep peace around my home and my family. And everybody that lives around me, I can tell you, has a respect and honor for us. And it didn't happen easy. But a lot of times it happens hard through frictions and through things. But by conducting ourselves properly and right, and caring about what the neighbors do. I can be very junky, but the neighbors, some of the neighbors can be kind of junky, but I'm going to tell you, the neighbors that right around there, it isn't a big high class place. It's just that they keep everything neat and all that. Do you know I'm conscious of that? Not because I think I'll go to heaven if I got a junky yard, or won't go to heaven if I got a junky yard. It's because I have a certain care about the neighbors and what they think about the thing. I don't want them going by and saying, I went by the fuel of the slothful. I went by a junkie people. You know what I'm saying? There's something that you care about us. You know, the Lord's had to work with me about a lot of things because my disposition would be, say, I got my own personal life and they can stay out of it. Well, I'm glad the Lord didn't say, I got my own personal life and they can stay out of it. So the Lord here in this is dealing with these people that don't understand themselves. He says, I counsel thee. This was what the Lord said to these wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked people. They didn't see that they was in that condition at all. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Now, how are you going to really be rich? I don't know that we might want to take the prescription that the Lord's giving here, but the Lord is saying that if you're claiming you're rich and in this place, if you want to be rich in God's eyes, open yourself up and allow God to start working with your life. He's going to turn some heat up on you. You want it right in your neighborhood. The neighbors might be stressing on you a little bit. You'll show them what the grace of God is. You can't show it to them unless the fire gets kicked up. But you can show them when the fire gets kicked up. He says, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. White raiment, that thou may be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Lord, help us today in our own lives to see. Oh, Our vision, we'll claim it's not, but we can claim our vision's near 20/20 when we're looking across the street at the neighbor. Or when I'm looking at the other person in the congregation across the seat. Or when somebody says something and I say, I sure wouldn't have said that. That's out of line. I wouldn't have made that comment like that because that would hurt somebody. Or I might be able to look with a 20/20 vision about those things, but I'm going to tell you, when it comes to introspection, it is so hard sometimes to have a good vision about it. It's so hard to see. And it's why the Lord says to them, you're not going to want to buy the gold tried in the fire because you're rich. You're not going to want the white raiment because you're already clothed in your own righteousness. You don't want any of that until we can get some eye salve on you. And if I can get some eye salve on you, I'm going to be able to prove to you that you're not what you think you are. And then that's the place to where we can say, thank you, Jesus. I never saw that in my life before. You know, I've been saved since about 86. I got saved before that. Anyway, I've been saved for about 31 years, 32 years. And you know what? Sometimes it still comes up and I'll say, I didn't know that. I never seen that. All of those years, and I never saw that. Lord, help us. You know, the Lord don't want to quit working with us. He wants to help us. Over in 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Now listen to what the apostle's saying. No doubt there was criticisms about him, as would naturally be. Some people would probably say, I think he's a false prophet, or I think he's lost his mind, or there would be a various of people that deal with other people. You're going to have the variety of opinions about it, and no doubt there was groups and different people. You can read some about Paul's life and see that it definitely wasn't all smooth sailing. He had fought with beasts at Ephesus. He went against false prophets everywhere. They rose up. He had one place he said to him, said, how can you do this? I begot you, and you turned away. He had his problems in the ministry, and no doubt here's a situation. He's probably referring to one of them that people was laying a judgment on him that Paul's this, and not only can they said he done this, but this is why he done it. And there's people that do those kind of things. And Paul concluded the whole thing up and said, it's no big matter to me that you judge me. You lay the judgments on me because I don't even do that. You know, a judgment, you might be right. It reminds me of the scripture where David was there, and I think it was a descendant of Saul came and he started cursing David. I mean, David's king at the time, and he was cursing him and letting him have it. No respect at all. And it was like the man didn't care what he could do to him either. It was just, he was letting him have it. You dog. He was letting him have it. And David's men said, in my mind, he jerked that sword out. He was had his teeth gritted and said, give me leave. I'll go take his head off. And David stopped him and said, no. Perhaps the Lord has said, curse David. I want to hear what he's saying, because, you know, it might be said in anger, and it might be said in hatred, and he might be telling the truth. I mean, he might say something that's going to make me a better man. It might come from a source we don't like. It might come from someone that we don't want to hear it from. But it might be the Lord saying to us, you know, this is what you really ought to consider about yourself. You're awful uppity and you're high-minded. And this is what you're awful. You get ahead of yourself. You need to consider what you're doing right here. It was a very good thing that David said. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's the Lord telling him to say something like that. You know, we'll dismiss it if it comes from the wrong person. I want somebody real spiritual and up here to tell me if you say something, and you got to say it real sweet for my sensitivities. I want you to set me down and say, Brother Marty, we love you, and pat me on the back while you're doing it. We love you, and you've been such a blessing to us, and that's the way we want. I'm going to tell you, that ain't the way that God does things all the time. Sometimes the Lord wants to get something to us, and he'll bring it through the means and say, are you interested? I'm going to tell you something about yourself. I've even had somebody say one time, we was in a discussion about an issue. It was a very serious issue. And about something that this guy had done. And he said, Brother Marty, I don't think you're looking at it right. Oh, no? He said, no. They only said that because why they told this story to start with is because they was upset about me over a money thing. And I said, so? Did you do it or didn't you do it? It was like, well, I did it, but that ain't why they told you. Okay, it don't matter why they told me where it came from. You don't have to deal with what you did. This is the way God chose to bring it to light. I want to give you some eye salve. You got this thing hidden. You think it's okay with everybody and with God. And God is just now saying, it ain't okay with me. I want you to deal with this. Well, I don't have to deal with that because it was a corrupt motive that they had to bring it out. He was, and I'm sitting there saying, is this guy serious? God wants to deal with our lives. God wants, I want to say, I don't think we know ourselves like we really think we know ourselves. I think there's things sometimes in our life that the Lord wants to critique about our lives and said, you know what? This is a place. And I'll say this from an experimental knowledge, but I've known a very faithful people that's lived their life and get up close to the end of time. I mean, their days. And they knew they was going. And boy, they start tightening things. There's things in their life that the Lord is able now to start really getting a hold of them with it. There's apologies that they make, and there's changings of their life and those kind of things. And you know, the Lord really wants to help them. I think it's okay to mention him, is Brother Hill from Webb City Congregation. Some of you knew him. I know. He was a staunch person. I mean, he was a staunch man. He loved the Lord. He was a very staunch person, and you would get a certain aura from him. I mean, he loved the Lord, but he was this. Do you know that man, at the end of his life, got to be the sweetest. It was like the Lord just really started working with him about his aggressive manner and all of that. And he just got sweeter and sweeter all the time. And he even told me at one point, he said, I never was strong in trust. This was at the end. He said, I never was strong in the idea of trusting the Lord, really trusting the Lord with my life. And you know, at the end of it, he told me, I want to trust the Lord with the end of my life. I want God to really be in it. And God there just done so much with his life. Maybe there was no other way to show him with that. But maybe the Lord wanted to work with this in his youth. Maybe he would have been better off and with a lot of his relationships and stuff. And his winning, being able to win souls and stuff, maybe it would have been better if the Lord could have softened that way earlier in his life. I'm glad that he was able to do it. But we don't know ourselves. Paul says, it's no big thing if you lay the judgments on me. It don't matter to me. I don't even judge me because I'll get it wrong. So many times I'll get it wrong when I try to judge. It's a small matter, he said. I don't even judge my own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet I am not hereby justified, but he that justifieth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring light to the hidden things. Now, this was Jesus who bring light, who lighteth every man. This is the idea that the Lord wants to light every man. I'll say again, God is able to do anything in this universe that he wants to do. And he can make me better when I wake up tomorrow morning if he wants to. But that's not the way he chose to work with the creation, that he gave a will We have the right to choose and do and go and be what we want to be. And in that, he respects that and he works with us. And when we see and look and say, there's an element, Lord, that I'm not like you, why? Why am I like that? It doesn't really matter. The Lord can help us. But there's times that it was just an environmental thing from the way I was raised. Sometimes it's just the way, the differences of people. Sometimes it's just those kind of things. But when I see that that's not, Lord, this is not like you. Would you help me in this area? Then here comes the light and understanding. Here's what you ever had the Lord deal with you like that? Here's what you need. Here's where the problem of it, of your life really is. I'm going to say this about my first wife. She passed away in 99. Her family was, and it's not me being critical, I'm going to tell you the story of them. My family was, I told somebody yesterday, my family wasn't afraid of anything. I say not, there surely was something. But where people was afraid to go in the dark, my dad would go and take his dog and he'd be back in the mountains by himself back in the mountains. When I got up so big, I'd take my dog and I'd be up in the middle of the night going down. I'd turn my light off in the middle of the woods way up there and the dog's off somewhere. And I was in my element. Nobody wasn't afraid of those kind of things. Many people was afraid of the dark and the mountains and the wild beasts and all that. We weren't afraid of that. Dad didn't teach us that. My mom was a very stern person. She remember one time there was a noise out on the porch and we was young. We all that. And there was a kind of a fear, you know, a big loud noise out on the porch. And my mom just simply said, well, what's that? Mom said, well, why don't you go out and look and you'll know what it is. I mean, you want to know what the noise is? Go out there and see. And that was the way let's go out there. Oh, the cat knocked the jars over. That's the way my wife's family wasn't like that. And they was afraid of, and she from a little girl was taught to be afraid of everything, every shadow, everything that knew. They believed in superstitious stuff and all these kind of things. And then they let her watch a very terrible, scary movie when she was a very young girl. And it set in her that fear was such a part of life. And I'm going to tell you, it caused a lot of dysfunction. That fear caused a lot of dysfunction. It was opposite of faith in so many places. You understand what I'm saying? God wanted to work with that. And he did. And there had to be an acknowledgement and a sin of it like this. Because to be honest with you, the clash, you can imagine the clashes of somebody that was taught to be afraid of nothing. And somebody that was taught to be afraid of everything. I had no sensitivities where I should have had them. I'm telling you on both sides, this wasn't virtue. This wasn't godliness. This is humanity. I was raised a certain way and had no pity on anybody that didn't. To me, that was just plain foolishness. No pity on that. To her, everything was afraid, was scary, and it caused so much dysfunction. I remember one time, just to tell you what I'm talking about, we was way back up where her grandmother lived, up this old holler, last house up this old holler. You couldn't hardly drive in there except when the weather was real good. So we couldn't drive in. So we drove up so far and then we walked in. And one of the other family members had a vehicle that he could drive all the way in. And so we're up there and it's starting to get before dark. And I was talking and stuff. And so my wife says, well, can we go ahead and leave? That was strange for her to want to leave her grandmother's, and I didn't. I mean, usually it's the other way. And so, but it was right there in the evening, and she said, well, we're going to go. We'd like to go do something. And I said, well, okay, hey, well, I'm talking to Ben, and we talked a little bit. Well, then it got dark, and I said, well, I'm ready to go. Let's go. So, can we just wait on Ben? We'll ride out with him. And I'm like, wait on them? Well, they might be half the night. Let's just go ahead and walk. She was like, well, what, can we just wait on them? I don't really want to walk out. She didn't tell me why, and I never had an inkling that it was because it was dark and was going down this old dark trail for so long. I never even had an inkling about it because they don't bother me. I don't go down through there. And, of course, in their family, there was all these stories about these panthers and these mountain lions. I never believed any of them anyway. I saw no panther, no mountain lion. And I didn't care anyway. It didn't matter. And I was going to walk, and she didn't want to walk, and finally, I said, come on, let's go. And I got her to go, and all of a sudden, we're down there, and I realized I just scared her about half to death. I mean, she was panicked walking out of there. I was like, well, you know, and I was joking with her, what are you afraid? You got me. I mean, I'm the, you know, you're afraid you got me. I mean, down there. No sensitivity when I, no sensitivity at all. I'm telling you, the Lord wants to look our lives, and he wants to deal with us and make us what we should be. When you look and there's dysfunction, I could blame her for all the dysfunction. I could have, but it all wasn't her fault. I was as dysfunctional as what she was. It was just totally in a different way. And the Lord wants us to buy the gold that's tried in the fire. He wants to work with these elements. And I'll say this about her life. God put us together and we worked each both of it, done it, and she got to a point in her life that she could stay at the house by herself. When I first married her, she couldn't. Too afraid. It was either a spirit or his animals or his people might do it. It was fear, just fear for fear. But you know, the Lord started working and dealing and changed our lives. And that's what the Lord wants to do. This is why Paul says, you can judge me, and I got a certain judgment about myself, and I'll sit and argue with you about what I am and all that. But Paul said, I don't see the depths of who I am. I don't know what might have cropped up in me or what I might have. You may say, I may still be tainted by the old law system. It keeps popping out in me every once in a while. The Lord comes and says, like, Paul, you're still looking at this law situation. You think he was just totally, completely perfect? I doubt it. I've never seen anybody have that experience. If there's dysfunction around in your life, there's an element that the Lord wants to deal with. Yes. If there's anything but love to fellow man, there's someplace God wants to deal with you. We can make the excuses that they're evil, bad, or a corrupt world. We can do that, but it don't fly with God. It flies with us, but it don't fly with God, because God loves them anyway. And so God knows that's just dysfunction. You're categorizing and putting people in there. I don't do that. And I don't want you to do that. And so if you'll follow me, I will work with your life. So Paul was saying, I don't even judge myself. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring light to the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels. Now, this is, I love this part. Will make manifest the counsels of the heart. What are those counsels? What is that element in my heart that makes me do what I do or take the positions that I take? Pretty much we all do what we want to do. You know, if you pay attention and live for the Lord will allow the right thing into your life to show you who you are. And I've made arguments about things before, and the Lord showed me up. And I have to say, I know the Lord did that. It was another thing with my wife, but we lived 6 or 8 miles from her mother's, and I'd work in surveying and working to come home, and my wife says, I would like to go visit Mom today. What? Visit Mom? I got up at 4 o'clock this morning. I have worked all day, and I'm tired, and I don't want to go to Mom's. You know, well, I've been here all, if you all know this, ever heard this before. She says, well, I've been here all day taking care of the children. I've been here all day. Okay, here we go. Here it is. And I said, well, I'm wore out. And I'm sitting there, and my dog that I was trying to train to tree, I mean, it barks when something's up the tree, right? And if they bark, it's a signal for you to go to them. That's the way you train the dog. When they got something up there, they bark and you go up to them and you reward the dog and you get the thing out, whatever it is. And so I'm sitting there, plumb wore out, can't go to Mom's. No way. And the dog starts barking on the mountain. Amen. Now, I got a passion here about this, you know. And so I already knew. I mean, here's this God thing. That's what it is. Here's this God thing. And so I go up to the dog and come back down and say, let's go. Going to mom's. Of course. But God will deal with you. Oh, I'm too tired. Are you really too tired to go to service? I mean, honestly. Have you ever been pressed to the place that I can't take one more step? I can't have one more thought. I'm completely drained. You know, we make a lot of excuses about things. The counsels of the heart the Lord wants to show the counsels of the heart. What is it really that you're not going to service? Well, it's really because I don't have much passion for going. Just say it like it is. Lord, stir the passion in me. Help me. Don't let me make an excuse. I'm too tired to go. I'll do anything else. And we had a situation up home one time that I just seen this observation, if you'll allow me, that they was brothers up there that when Wednesday night come along, they had worked so hard and they just couldn't do it. But Friday night was basketball night, and I was always amazed how much more energy you have at Friday than you have at Wednesday. By Friday it's ready, kick and go. You know what I'm saying? Never too tired on Friday night basketball night, but on Wednesday night service night, just too tired to go. I guess it was just the nature of working too hard on Wednesday. No, it's the idea that there's counsels of the heart in there, and it's, I've got a passion to play basketball, and I don't have a passion for service. Is it all right to be honest? Is it all right to just say, this is what it is? The Lord wants to bring the light to the counsels of the heart. What is driving the motivations? What's driving what we're doing in this? I remember one time, and I just loved going to service, and when I first got saved, I just remember I went over two major mountain divides to get over there. I just wanted to hear what Brother Sammons had or what the Bible study was, the Sunday school. I felt like that I wasn't going to make it through the week if I didn't go over there and get charged up. That's literally the way I felt. I've got to have something. And I'd go over and I'd be blessed every time and go over there. And the years rolled on, and there was one time I went over there. I went to service and I'm sitting there in the service and my mind is, well, I wish I was hoeing the corn. I don't know if it's even corn time, but I wish I was doing something. I wish I was feasting. And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I realized, what happened to me? What happened to the guy that had to drive over the mountains that couldn't wait to get there? I don't want to be here. The counsels of my heart was a cry. I don't want to be here sitting in this service like this. Preacher preached, and I said, that's the driest. I said they'd have to add water to that to make it as dry as toast. That's the driest service. I'm sitting there in my heart saying, there's no reason to come for no more than this. And after the service, Brother Jim White gets up and says, I thank the Lord for that message. The brother, he brought out this and that, and I'm sitting there and inside me arguing with Brother Jim saying, he didn't say that. I was listening the whole time and he didn't say that. And he went on completely blessed of the Lord. Wow, this has been wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know what the Lord just did? He shined light to the hidden counsels of the heart. Why did Brother Jim get all that out of that and me sit there like that? And I remember saying to the congregation, y'all pray for me. I need a renewing. I need something that I ain't got. Because I don't feel like it's the way it ought to be here. Lord, you know, that's what the Lord does. He's God enough to have made me not that. But that's not the way he works. He brings it to you and in the passion of your own heart. You want to live for God or don't you? You want to really serve God in the right way. You want to be a witness and an example to your family. Yeah, you can come and say, pray for my family. And that's a good thing. But it won't. That will not overshadow a bad life. It won't overshadow the dysfunction that you have in your life. The Lord wants to heal those things about our life. He make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man, this is beautiful. And then shall every man have praise of God. Now, there can be a reality to it to where we can honestly say, I was blind, and now I see. What people saw in me and what I caused people to, I can see it now. Lord, help us today to be what the Lord would have us to be. There's a couple other places in the scriptures where people, the Lord dealt with things like this, so I want to look at them over in John, 8th chapter of John. First verse says, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Now here's the situation that happened, so you can get a good picture of it. This wasn't isolated a few people. This says the multitude of the people were there. So there was a multitude of people for your vision of this. There's a multitude of people there, and Jesus is there teaching. And these Pharisees come in with a woman caught in the very act, and they wanted to make sure, no, they knew that this isn't a matter of getting a lawyer. This is, it's not debatable about the ifs and ands. She got caught in the very act of it, and now we already know the guilt's there. So there's no need for a trial or anything like that. So now it's time for the sentence. And they put her in the midst for a reason, to be seen, to be shamed. They put her in the midst and they proclaimed this, if you can imagine. Now the woman's in the front of all this, and she's been accused, not being accused, she's been saying, this is what she's done and all of this. And now here's the situation. And here is these people, these men. And I have to ask this question. Who there you think Jesus loved? I mean, Jesus loved everybody. Jesus loved everybody. He's their minister to everybody. Jesus isn't afraid of sinners. Jesus come for sinners. He ain't afraid of them. Jesus working with people. And here's the situation. And Jesus has an opportunity. So they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. Jesus knew all that. It says, but Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, I just want to add this, that most scholars says, a little tighter translation of that would have been, had it had been translated, and him that's without the same sin. But we'll leave this as it is, but it is an interesting thought. Jesus says, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it began being convicted by their own conscience. Jesus was so good here. Here's a scenario. These men were guilty of the same thing. In some fashion or form, these men were guilty men, and Jesus knew it. Now, they're playing maybe a hypocrite role, but I'll say this. They didn't know themselves very well about themselves. So Jesus writes on, it's only speculation, the Bible doesn't say, but the writing on the ground was writing something. He was writing out them people. But why did he write it and not say it? Jesus loves you today. Jesus ain't trying to make you run away from it or be so embarrassed you can't stand it or anything like that. If Jesus wanted to do it, he could have stood up there and told that whole crowd exactly what those people were. But he didn't do it because he's a being of grace. He truly loves people. He doesn't want to destroy you that way. He wants to deal with you in your privacy of your own heart. He wants to deal with you about the things in your own life. He wants you to be corrected and made whole, and then you testify about it. He don't want to make that statement. He wants you to make that statement. He wants them people to come and say, yes, I was an adulterer too. And Jesus delivered. That's what he wants. He revealed themselves to themselves, and starting with the oldest, and it makes so much sense, and the Bible wanted us to know this. The man that had accumulated the most junk in his life walked out first. From the eldest to the youngest. And the youngest was still standing there waiting to see what the oldest one did. But after a while, he stood there by himself. Because the rest of them started peeling off. The oldest to the youngest, they started going out. They knew they couldn't deal with this guy. He was penetrating their heart. Now, what you do with the penetration is going to be up to you. But if you want it to be right, it's where you bow down before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not what you would want me to be. And he reveals it to their hearts. He gave them eye salve right there to know, brothers, your life is not hid before God. He sees your life. And he knows what's in your life. I believe in the spirit world. I'm not going off in the weeds here. I'm just telling you that the Bible gives us enough insight to believe in a spiritual world. There's enough scriptures like where David prayed the 21 days and would come back. The angel said, I heard you the first day, but I had to contend with the prince of Persia. There was a spiritual working. There is a spiritual life in this. And I believe many times some of the things that we see infiltrate our families, our homes, in their lives is because of the leadership of that family has let down and let the devil in. I believe that there is a place that God respects and honors those kind of places. Lord, help us. The Lord wants to deal with those places in our lives. Oh, look at another scripture. One more anyway, over in Matthew 26th chapter. And then we'll be through. Matthew 26. Oh, let's see. I'll go with the 31st verse. Then saith Jesus unto them all, you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I shall smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said, I want you to pay attention here to this. Peter answers and said unto the, now the Lord is the one that has already proven himself through miracles and through a power of words, that he is the Son of God. But now Peter, knowing himself better, Peter knows himself better than the Lord knows him in his own mind. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall offend thee, be offended of thee, I will never be offended. I honestly believe that the Lord believed that. Because I know of my own life that my emotions and things go like this. And sometimes when I hit a high place, I'm ready to conquer the world. And I think of myself that I'm able to do something that down here I'm not able to do. And there's a place that Peter's at. Nothing's gone on. He's there with the Lord. His true sense and feelings is that I will die for the Lord Jesus. I'll die. He doesn't know that he doesn't know the counsels of his heart yet. He doesn't know the weakness of his own counsels and what it's going to do to him. So he turns the Lord down. He says no to the Lord. You're wrong, because I will never. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto them, listen, Jesus confirms what he said in an absolute positive declaration of prophecy. This is exactly what's going to happen, Peter. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise, it wasn't just Peter, likewise also said all of the disciples. They all at that moment in time had a great surge of, what do you say, power. They had a great surge of affection to the Lord, a great understanding of themselves, and they didn't know that they was not grounded yet in the things of God. They all ended up getting to this place after the Lord shined a eye salve on them, after he made gold tried in the fire. All of them was able to do it. No, Judas not, but I mean, all was able to do it. But they didn't know themselves. They had assumed that the way they felt was the way they were, and that is not true. You can get surges of emotions and it not be that. It reminds me of the old idea where the drunk goes out and he goes and gets drunk and he goes in and beats his wife, and when he gets sober, he's sorry and he buys her flowers and he begs forgiveness and all this, and he feels now, I'll never touch another drink as long as I live. I've done something terrible and all this, and we know those stories over and over of people that have done that. And then another day later, he doesn't feel quite as loving towards his wife, and he doesn't feel quite as guilty as he did. And another couple of days, the pull of the liquor starts on him again, and now there's a battle half and half, and I should never do it again. And a couple more days, he leaned towards the bar, and a couple of days later, in about a week's time altogether, he goes and beats his wife again. We ain't what we think we are. Amen. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to help us to see what we are in our lives. And we can take stands and say, I'm absolutely right, and there's no changing on that. And the Lord will come by. I was down praying one time, and I was really praying, and I was praying for somebody because they wasn't doing something right. And the Lord spoke to me so plain right there in the middle of my prayer and said, you do the same thing. And you know I was exactly like Peter. I said, I don't do it either. And then it comes so clearly to my mind what I was doing. It was wasn't exactly the same testimony, but it was the same thing in theory. I had to say, yet, Lord, I am like that. I am like that. Help me that I'm not like that. And help me that I'm not like that anymore. We know the story of Peter. Peter got a real eye-opening, didn't he? He started off and said, I don't know him. He later said, I don't know him. I tell you, I don't know him. And later he started swearing, cursing. I don't know him. And the old rooster crows. And awareness comes over Peter. I didn't know myself. I thought that I had something more than that. In closing, there's a scripture where these people, the Lord talks about them. At the end, they come and say, did we not preach? Did we not cast out devils in thy name? Did we not do the works of God? And the testimony of the Lord is, you thought that. I never knew you. You never had a relationship with me. And all the time they had thought that they had performed the duties of the Lord. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.